In Tynwald last week, Onchan MHK Rob Collister asked his colleagues to reaffirm a 2017 Tynwald decision relating to the role LegCo members should fulfil, and in particular, that they should not be a member of more than one government department. The government website tells us that one MLC is a member of two departments, and since last month's reshuffle, there may be two. But does any of this really matter? Rob Collister certainly thinks so, and he joins me now to explain why.
You had a motion which kind of went through today. It was amended by the Chief Minister. His amendment noted what you were hoping Tynwald would reaffirm, which is a decision taken by Tynwald back in 2017. Why did you need reaffirmation of what Tynwald's already agreed to?
Basically, because when I inquired about the 2017 resolution, more importantly, the amendment by Ray Harmer at the time to restrict members of Legislative Council to just one department, I found out from my research that it wasn't binding by anybody outside the court. And I felt that was a little unfair. So I felt after having a correspondence exchange with the Chief Minister in order to restrict members of Legislative Council to just one department, the Chief Minister advised me it wasn't binding. So I felt I needed to come back to Tynwald Court in order to reaffirm something that Tynwald had agreed in 2017.
So explain then, Tynwald decisions aren't binding. How does that work?
I'm not sure. That was the ruling that I got back from the clerks, that it wasn't binding. So I felt personally I needed it to be reaffirmed because I think MLCs do a fantastic role within Tynwald and within the Manx government. But I think their role should be restricted because they are not publicly elected, something that I've always said in the past.
And in essence, Tynwald opinions are just that. Tynwald collectively decides, it can decide a range of different things, and government ministers can choose to ignore those decisions if they choose. Effectively, that's what's happening here, isn't it? Tynwald does not have the power to compel government to do things, but government, well, ministers have to be pretty blooming careful if they are taking a decision that runs counter to an opinion expressed by Tynwald.
I think in this administration there has been too many occasions when Tynwald Court collectively has made a decision and then the department has either dragged its heels or just completely ignored it. And I think we need to have a stronger conversation around when Tynwald Court, which is meant to be the highest court of the Isle of Man, makes a decision, then a department should be forced to fulfil the will of the court.
And that isn't how it's ever worked since the ministerial system has come into being. I mean, the point of the ministerial system was government gets on with governing and Tynwald is only asked to effectively approve high-level policies and to approve the funding. David Ashford, we were talking about ministerial decisions being logged. You know, we've had over three decades now of ministerial government, and it seems to be working okay without decisions being logged, without Tynwald being able to overrule government. Why do you think that we've reached this point now where Tynwald needs to be able to make very clear decisions which are effectively binding on government?
I'm not entirely sure where things have gone slightly wrong, but there seems to be a recurring theme at the moment that we sit in Tynwald Court, we make very difficult decisions on behalf of the people of this Isle of Man, and then they're ignored, or they're partly put through, or they're put on a shelf and we'll do it at some point in the future. That has to change. We spend a considerable amount of time researching. We spend a considerable amount of time putting forward alternative motions and amendments to items that we are considering in the court, and then they're just ignored. And I think people across the island are getting tired. So if we take one, for example, about children leaving care, that one I was very passionately involved in, none of those recommendations have ever been implemented. And you could pick up so many other topics where we've had proper debate in Tynwald. We've made what we felt was the right decision for the people of this island, but then a department or multiple departments will just choose not to follow that through. And what we need is a commitment from the Council of Ministers and from this government that if Tynwald Core does ask a department to implement a change or a direction, or a different direction where we should go, then the department should really do everything possible to carry out the will of Tynwald Court.
So then, going back specifically to this motion, and the motion is about members of Legislative Council not being on more than one department, there is only one member that's not on, that's on more than one department, a member of LegCo at the moment. Is this a direct sort of dig at that member?
No, I think you're slightly wrong there, Phil. It's two members. There's a current member that sits in the Department of Enterprise, and there's another member that also sits in the Department of Health. So there's two MLCs sitting in two different departments and two different roles. But they have no accountability to the people for the Isle of Man for the decisions and the actions they take. That is at the heart of my argument here. I understand, I think everyone else does, that every single Tynwald member works their socks off for the people of this island. But it's how we actually differentiate. Sorry, can we stop that? The question is how we split the role of the publicly elected member of the House of Keys and the role that should be undertaken by the non-publicly elected member of Legislative Council.
Okay, then. So effectively what you're saying is that members of the Legislative Council are second-class members of Tynwald. Is that pretty much how you see it, that because they don't have a direct mandate from the people, they in some way shouldn't have the same rights as any of the other Tynwald members?
No, definitely not. What I'm actually saying is the role of the Member Legislative Council should be primary legislation reviewing. However, they do have a role to play in government, and they do have a very important role to play in Tynwald. What I'm actually saying is that the roles have to be defined correctly in order to ensure that the publicly elected members of the House of Keys are accountable to the people of the Isle of Man for the decisions they make and the actions they take. The problem is, at the heart of this, is the fact that members of the Legislative Council are not accountable to the people of this island for any sort of actions they take. And I know the Minister for DfE said, well, the MLCs will be accountable through him as the Minister. I accept that. And as long as the public accept that, if an MLC in a department does not carry out the function correctly, or they're not held accountable, or unable to be held accountable, then the people of the Isle of Man should hold the Minister to account for the actions taken from within the department.
Effectively, this comes back to the often raised and rarely resolved issue of whether members, well, never resolved issue, whether members of the Legislative Council either A, are needed at all, or B, should be directly elected by the public. Effectively, the system that operates at the moment is that you, as a member of the House of Keys, along with your colleagues, decide whether members of the Legislative Council or who should be members of that council. You are then accountable to the Manx public for the decisions that you have taken in relation to those MLCs. So in that regard, they are accountable. It's the system that exists at the moment. And quite frankly, I think a bigger question would be if you are effectively paying for eight members of Legislative Council to sit there and make decisions and scrutinise what the government's up to and what Tynwald's up to. Why would you emasculate them in some way and reduce the amount of work that they could potentially do, which is what you appear to be suggesting in this motion?
No, what I was actually simply doing was, as a member of the House of Keys, there was a motion put in Tynwald in 2017 that restricted members of the Legislative Council to one department. I felt it was absolutely right for that to be reaffirmed again this week. As I've always said, I am absolutely in favour of members of the Legislative Council, playing a part in Tynwald. I don't think I'd ever vote for that system to be removed. the question is about the definition of the role that should be undertaken by a member of the Legislative Council and the public role to be undertaken by the member of House of Keys. And at the moment, as I've said originally, I feel the lines are getting seriously blurred. And that, to me, then, instead of having 24 members of the House of Keys, we technically, you could argue that we have 32 members of the House of Keys, but some of them sit at a different tier than the others. That, to me, is where the lines are getting blurred. And if it's blurred for me as a member of the House of Keys, I'm not sure what the public would think, because I'm sure they must also be questioning and seeing the fact that members of the Legislative Council are making decisions, but there's no accountability for those decisions.
Would you not agree that most members of the public, their bigger concerns are how their children are going to be ever able to afford to live on the Isle of Man? Indeed, how are they going to manage in terms of the cost of living crisis, which many families are still struggling with? All those decisions, whether we're actually going to get the nirvana that Council of Ministers is endeavouring to deliver, of a strong, vibrant economy with lots of economically active people. These are the sorts of questions that most people are concerned about. Would you agree with that?
I agree. We deal with all of that, but we also have to deal with the legislation process as well. And I think you're absolutely right that there are bigger things to be dealt with. However, we are a parliament and we have a range of items on the agenda at any given month. So we've gone through business and we'll continue to deal with the day-to-day business. But it's also right that we get our processes and procedures within the parliament correct on behalf of the people of the Isle of Man.
Seven MHKs, I think it is, are not members of departments. I think that's the highest number that we've had for a very, very long time. In fact, possibly ever during the ministerial system. One of the contributions to the debate effectively went along the lines of, well, okay, MHKs, if you're really that concerned about MLCs being departmental members, it's time to step up to the plate and actually become part of government yourselves.
I absolutely agree with that. As a member myself, last administration, I was in three government departments pretty much all the way through the last administration. Obviously, and even in this administration, I was in two government departments. Then obviously I was made minister. Then coming back from that, I had to go through various investigations and tribunals and everything else over the last 18 months. Since then, I have become chair of planning. So I am technically in the department in DEFA, but I'm arm's length in order to give me the independence and the freedom to be able to be chair of the planning organisation. But I'd love to go back into a department. The question is, which minister do I want to work with? And more importantly, what minister wants to work with me?
So the fact that you aren't in a department then would indicate that ministers don't want to work with you?
I think the departments that I want to work with, there's no room for change at the moment. And the departments that are open to me, I just can't go in at the moment. You know, obviously I can't go into the Department of Health and Social Care. I know there's no vacancies in the Cabinet Office. If you then look around, I've been in DfE for 6 years. There's no vacancies there. So there's very little options for me personally. But I would encourage my colleagues, you know, they should go into departments. They should help deliver the island plan and the key objectives of this island to make it a better place for everybody that lives on the Isle of Man.
DEFA minister seemed quite keen to get members.
I feel really sorry for the DEFA minister, and I know she has reached out to every single member of the House of Keys, and I hope that somebody does go in to help her, because she should have a department member, because she's a brilliant minister. And that's why when I was offered the role of planning chair, it was absolutely right that I went in support of the minister, and I'd love to do so much more. But everything that's gone on in the last 18 months makes myself a little bit difficult of where I go and what role I play. So that's why I've taken more of an active role to make sure that I'm scrutinising as a backbench properly and delivering speeches that are well documented, well researched, and actually ensuring that I'm representing the people of the Isle of Man and holding government to account when I need to, but also supporting them when I need to.
And you suggested perhaps in a somewhat disgruntled way, as you noted, that the Chief Minister's amendment to your motion was likely to pass, that you would reflect on the debate and perhaps bring forward a private member's bill to the House of Keys. Any thoughts at this stage as to what that might include?
Yeah, what upset me greatly about this particular motion is that obviously it had the full weight of the Council of Ministers and the Chief Minister behind his amendment. That, to me, was wrong. This was a parliamentary matter. This was not a government issue. It should have been a free vote. It should have been a parliamentary matter, have an open discussion and see where we go. The next stage for me is to consider bringing a private member's bill, looking at the Departments Act 1987, maybe restricting a member's of the Legislative Council to one department. I know there is a colleague of mine may now be also looking at an amendment to that bill, possibly restricting MLCs to just two terms in office. So there is serious consequences from the vote today, and a lot of reflection needs to happen before I bring anything forward. But I am seriously now considering bringing a private member's bill to see if we can actually make sure that the lines between the publicly elected House of Keys and the members of Legislative Councils are really drawn properly to respect the separate roles that we must undertake as the Manx Parliament.
That was Rob Collister putting his case. Next, we hear from some of the contributors to the debate, including MHK's Tim Johnson, Laurie Hooper and Anne Corlett. But first, one of the most visibly busy MLCs, Tanya August Hansen.
What happens when some members of Keys don't show some degree of reluctance to engage in departmental responsibilities? What recourse is available when ministers are left with no choice but to seek assistance from Legislative Council members to ensure essential functions are maintained? The reality is that flexibility becomes paramount in ensuring the continued progress and functionality of our government. And we need to have a minister, and one political member to avoid departments becoming dictatorships. While Legislative Council often faces public scrutiny and criticism, it's imperative that we recognise and address these challenges very constructively rather than allowing them to undermine collective efforts. I'm among those who advocated for a shift in focus where Legislative Council members are more actively engaged in pre- and post-legislative scrutiny, as well as in broader parliamentary oversight of government affairs. I reaffirm my commitment to my current roles within DEFA and within DHSC, where I endeavour to make meaningful contributions to legislation and policy. However, I do also implore my colleagues to consider their roles and responsibilities earnestly and to engage in the collective work of governance. Ultimately, my hope is for a Legislative Council one day that serves a valuable resource for legislative support and policy expertise, while the House of Keys assumes primary responsibility for government affairs. Achieving this vision will require a concerted effort from all members of Tynwald, as well as a commitment to effective collaboration and cooperation. Finally, some of you may remember, and some of you will have forgotten, others of you won't have had the benefit of being here, I think, at the time. I asked the question of the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, in the last administration after being encouraged by my then colleague on Council, Mrs. Marlene Masker, about Legislative Council members in departments. I asked whether it's the policy of the Council of Ministers that members of the Legislative Council should not be a member of more than one department, and if he would make a statement. I was grateful to receive a polite telling off for not wanting to do the same. I was responsible, again, as I said, at the Department of Home Affairs for its legislative programme, but via an MOU, and that, I think, annoyed him quite considerably because it meant I sat outside of collective responsibility. In his response, and in the response of Mr. Ray Harmer, the then Policy and Reform Minister, it was made quite clear to me that the word should, he said, this was Ray Harmer, should was used for specific reason, and it was not a must, and that I, alleged co-member without department, should pipe down, because the word should was still allowing for Legislative Council members to be on more than one department. So I will offer the same advice to honourable colleagues thinking of voting for this if they're not willing to replace me in the positions that I hold.
The original motion and debate are or stem from a time past. A different administration had questions about the lines between MLCs and MHKs. I can't really comment on that. I wasn't there. I can't see any real logic to the concept that MHKs can be members of multiple departments, which many are, but MLCs can only be in one. To me, it doesn't make sense. But that was then. And in reality, over many years, departments have ignored that desire, and we have had excellent contributions from MLCs who have been members of multiple departments. Turning to now, I think the public would expect all members of this honourable court to be doing all they can for the people of the island. The island is in a different place to what it was 7 years ago. To be frank, we need everyone pulling together, all of our public servants and all of this honourable court. I think they would take a dim view if this honourable court did anything that would cut across, giving the people of the island the best possible outcome.
My position on MLCs and departments, I think, has been relatively clear since I was first elected. I think my very first motion in this honourable court, I think the month after I was elected, was to do with the role of MLCs. My position is unchanged. I don't think anyone that has not been publicly elected should be able to make policy decisions. I don't think that is really a true democracy. But that isn't the same as saying a member of the Legislative Council shouldn't be a member of a department. As Ms. August Hansen, I think, has quite clearly outlined already, it is perfectly possible for MLCs to be members of departments, to work on legislative programmes, to be our equality champion, for example, whatever it may be, that says actually there are lots of valuable executive roles that a member of the Legislative Council can undertake that are not purely policy related. So in the Department of Health, I have a very valuable MLC who, whilst she is an enormous pain in the neck, actually is doing exactly the job that I would expect an MLC to do, challenging some of the decisions that are made by elected members, actually saying, is this in the right direction? Is this in the best interests of the people of this island? But ultimately, I find myself really strongly agreeing with the comments from the Honourable Member for Douglas East, Mrs. Barber. Ultimately, I'm a pragmatist. I wouldn't want, and I don't think Timwalt would want, a point of principle or a wording of a motion to actually inhibit our ability to govern the island, to inhibit our ability to do the job that we've been elected to do. And I think sometimes where needs must, as Mrs. Barber has correctly outlined, where needs must, we have to place our duty at the forefront of our decision making. And in this case, our duty is to do the job we've been elected to do and to serve the people of this island. And if that means that a Timwalt resolution from 5 or so years ago has to be reread in a slightly different context, I think that is entirely the right thing to do.
This is not a triviality, it is an issue, and it was an add-on to the motion, but it was accepted by Timwalt. And I honestly feel, Chief Minister, with your amendment, I think you're actually masking an issue. Yeah. And that is, either there are not enough MHKs that wish to work as department members, or ministers are unable to recruit members that they would like to work in departments. And this is an issue, and it needs to be called out. And the answer is to find ways to encourage MHKs to take up department roles, to encourage ministers to engage with MHKs to do so, and to actually be honest about why, even with LegCo members, we find ourselves unable to fill department roles. Mrs. Barber has hit the nail firmly on the head when she says it's about balance. And honestly, I really do believe that it is important not to upset that balance.
So what do you think? Should MLCs make decisions on government policy, bearing in mind their at best tenuous mandate from the people through the MHKs who elect them? Is this really that important when government continues to struggle to deliver solutions to many of the problems we're facing? And what does this say about the MHKs who choose to sit outside of government? Should they be mucking in with the rest to deliver better government? Or are they right to sit outside of government to give a more independent, scrutinising voice? Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast on Manx Radio's website. I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayo. Thanks for listening.